Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Over the last few weeks, we've been wandering through the Gospels with the author Wynne Collier, listening to the questions that Jesus asks his friends, his various followers in there, and wondering what those questions might actually mean to us. Tonight, our travels bring us to the side of a mountain. We find Jesus with a crowd of maybe 10, maybe 15,000 people. He's been with them for 3 days straight, teaching and healing, and now they have a pretty basic problem. They've run out of food. So Jesus turns to a few of his close friends and asks them this seemingly strange question: how much bread do you have? Wynne Collier is with us again to unravel this next question of ours, number 4 in our series, How Much Bread Do You Have? What does it mean to us? Hi, Wynne.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Another one of those strange questions. Like we've said with previous questions that Jesus asks, it almost sounds like, at the face value, it's a silly question, doesn't it? Given the circumstances, so many people around and a few people with maybe a couple of loaves under their arms.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and some people react differently to this question a couple different ways. Some people think it just seems foolish. I had one commentator one time just ask me, why do you make such a big deal out of this question? It seems like he's just asking a plain question. He just wants to know how much bread's around. And I can understand the response, but given the situation, given the fact that there were, as you mentioned, 10 to 15,000 people around, the question just seems ridiculous, because no matter what the answer was, whether they had 1,000 loaves or they had 3,000 loaves, none of it would have been enough to meet the predicament they were in.
Yes, yes. And we've got to remember the context, too. These guys are in a pretty remote location, too, aren't they?
That's right. They were a long way from anywhere. People had traveled, I think as the scripture says, a great distance to be there, and they'd been there for several days. And this wasn't like a planned conference. This wasn't something that people set aside vacation time for, and we're going to go for a week, and they packed accordingly. I mean, this was sort of an impromptu thing, the way it would happen in the first century. A leader would show up, a personality, people would gather, it would begin to sort of take on a life of its own, and before Jesus knew it, really, he had quite a crowd gathered in a place that would not have been a planned location.
And there's no shopping center down the road to go and duck down and get a hamburger.
That's right. That's right.
We keep on reading our own experience back into these stories, I think. We've got to imagine this is very remote, very arid. Like you said, this hasn't been planned. Here's thousands and thousands of people, and they've got nothing to eat. In some of the gospel stories that actually recount this incident, we actually hear that Jesus was motivated by compassion.
And I think it's interesting that he's raising the question. Mm. And we obviously don't know everything that's happening, but at least the way the gospel writer tells the story, the disciples were not coming to Jesus saying, "Hey, Jesus, we have a problem here. What's going to happen?" We didn't have a group sort of coming up out of the crowd, coming to Jesus saying, "We have an issue here. How are you going to fix it?" This was Jesus recognizing that there was hunger in his midst, and it was Jesus moving toward a solution.
Yeah. Now, is there something in that as well, in the sense that, why didn't they think about this very obvious practical concern? All the women listening would have said, if there was women there, of course, we would have thought about it. Why didn't you think? I mean, is there something to that?
I just think, in some senses, they were caught up in the moment. I mean, there was a lot happening, there was a lot of people. And again, I think it comes back to, they'd never planned for it to go this long. And it kind of hit a crisis point, and it happened all of a sudden. But I would say, in many ways, that's really similar to our own experiences. I mean, we don't often really recognize the dire straits we may be in until it crosses the line and panic begins. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we look around and we go, wow. And it's kind of like this current economic crisis that our world is in, and I guess sort of started over here. Sorry about that.
Yes, but, thank you very much.
Right. But, I mean, it's kind of like you can look back now and you can see how for several years, if not decades, greed and bad business practices and runaway debt and all kinds of things should have given us a clue. And yet it wasn't until things got absolutely almost manic before we sort of woke up and realized it. And I think it's true in our own life. I mean, when do we deal with relational conflict or struggles in our marriage or addictions that we have? Usually not until we hit a crisis point.
Yes. So do you think that's this question that even that commentator asked you, why are you making such a big deal about this? What do you think that question, in a nutshell then, that Jesus asked to his disciples, how much bread do you have? The seemingly strange question. What do you think he really was trying to get out of them by asking it?
Yeah, well, I think in some ways he was trying to start even in how they were going to deal with this, start a little bit of a conversation and get them to recognize that there was nothing in their capacity to deal with this. They didn't have the resources. I think, in a sense, he wanted them to see, A, that they were in a terrible position, and then, B, that no matter how hard they tried, there wasn't a thing they could do about it.
This is Open House right across the nation. We're walking through our series on the questions of Jesus with author Wynne Collier, author of the book Holy Curiosity. So here we are, Wynne. The disciples get their seven loaves together, we're told. Seven loaves and a few fishes. They put it into a pile, place it in front of these 10 to 15,000 people. You can almost hear the crickets chirping, can't you, in the background?
Right.
What's the resounding message?
Well, I think it's two things, really. It's, first of all, is that we all need to recognize our hunger. And I think that's really what Jesus was getting at. He was trying to get the disciples, and I think vicariously, all present, to really recognize that they were in deep need. And then to recognize that there is only one who has the capacity, the ability, the compassion, the mercy to be able to provide that. I mean, we are all hungry. I love the line, one of my favorite writers, John Steinbeck, said, "There's a capacity for appetite that a whole heaven and earth of cake can't satisfy."
I like that.
And I really believe that most of us live most of our life pushing that sort of twinge of hunger to the side, that nagging suspicion that something is not right, that we have something deeply wrong in us and around us and among us. And it's not until that sort of rises to the surface and we'll own it and we'll admit it can we begin to have our hunger assuaged.
Well, the story goes on. Jesus performs that miracle that completely defies the laws of nature. He thanks God for the fish, for the loaves, gets the disciples to hand it out, and somehow the food just multiplies as they keep on handing it out. There's enough for, 12 basket loads of leftovers afterwards. I mean, it's a very clear demonstration of Jesus' miraculous power. It's actually a demonstration of a number of things. Like what else do you think it says to us? What do you think we sometimes miss by this, I guess, miracle that we see Jesus do?
Well, I think we have to see in its context. First, the immediate context where the story is told. It's a trilogy of stories that the gospel writer is telling, and they all have one common denominator, and it's food. The first story is talking about the religious elite who were very pedantic about who could eat and who couldn't. And if you were an outsider, if you were unclean, so to speak, you were not allowed to eat. He was angry that Jesus' disciples weren't following those rules. And the second story is about an outsider, a woman that the religious elite, again, would have called dirty and vile and would have had nothing to do with. Jesus' interaction with her about providing her food from the table. And then the third story really is a concluding, it's almost an eruption of this trilogy. And the third story is Jesus literally spreading out a feast for thousands and thousands of people. And it's very interesting. The gospel writer takes great note to tell us who was among the crowd. And he says it was the lame, the crippled, the weak. It was the exact people that in the first story, the religious elite would have said were not allowed to eat.
Good point.
And in the concluding story, it's as if Jesus is saying, "You have no idea how scandalous my mercy and grace is. Not only is there food for the outsiders, there is a literal feast for absolutely everyone."
Again, we can read these stories at face value and we can miss the deeper richness with everything that's going on there. So here we are. We've got this miracle. We've got Jesus feeding these thousands and thousands of people. Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home to us. What does this question that Jesus asks his disciples, "How much bread do you have?" What does it say to us right now in the 21st century?
Well, I think it's a very personal question. I think it lodges itself really deep in our heart, and it asks us, are we willing to own up to our own hunger? Are we willing to own up to the fact that we are dissatisfied, that we're lonely, that our marriage is in trouble, that our ability to provide for ourselves and our families is limited at best? And are we willing to be open to the possibility, at least, that there might be a God who is bigger and stronger and more vivacious and more generous than we could have ever imagined, who wants to step into that, but he really is not invited into that until we'll say, "There's a need here. I don't have enough bread. I'm hungry. I'm lonely. I'm broken. And until we do that, we'll never step into the feast. But the feast is always being offered. And I think that's where it hits me, at least.
And when we respond to that hunger, and when we admit it, that miracle may just be around the corner.
That's right.
Wynn Collier, thank you. Let's connect up this time next week, hey?
Sounds great.
And next time we'll talk about What Do You Want? We're doing this series on the questions that Jesus asks of those people around him in the Gospels and what they actually say to us today. Next week, Aaron Wright will be in the chair. He'll be asking that question, What Do You Want? And all the series is online at the openhouse.net.au podcast.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.